been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's a new season. How's it going? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, how's it going, guys? Did you miss us? Where you been? Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing all right. You're just enjoying my time best I can. You know, doing what we do.
Well, normally this time of year, you and I are probably like 5-6 shows deep at this point, talking training camp, talking preseason, all that good stuff. But unfortunately, due to COVID-19, no preseason games whatsoever. There's nobody that we can spotlight that we've seen, ourselves training camp. There are live videos on YouTube that you can watch each day that they are practicing. However, you and I normally go to a training camp either at the Castle or at M&T Bank Stadium. Those were canceled because they don't want any people in there. So we've kind of been laying low a little bit, watching what the media and the Ravens have put out. But we haven't been able to do our normal thing in August where we get to, you know, get behind a player we really like and then see them cut the last day or something like that. So it's been a bit of a bummer, but here we are. We're coming back. We're doing a new show. How are you doing with the fact that, you know, You've kind of got Ravens back, but you know, you live and breathe the Ravens. It's kind of taken away from you a little bit here. How have you been handling that?
I've been handling it okay. It's been up and down, Brandon. As everybody knows, you know, I mean, again, you know, we all think we're the number one fan, right, in our own minds. But you know, it's bittersweet. I'll put it that way, because there's some days I get really, really, really pissed off at the whole situation. Like, man. And then there's some days that I'm like, you know what? Let's look at the positives, right? We're having a football season. We get to watch 16 games. They didn't shorten the season. They didn't do anything. You know, no one's really hurt. You know, we have our team. Let's get excited. So I'm like, you know what's better than no football, right? So it's like, I mean, there's no college football. So it's like, imagine, you know, the fans of those teams and all that. So it's like, you know what? I take it for what it is. You know, there's going to be a football season. You know, eventually there's going to be playoffs and a Super Bowl champion at the end of this year. So Ravens are in the mix. So I got to get excited, right? And it wouldn't be fair to everybody to spread negative energy and kind of go, you know, especially on the show, like doom and gloom. I mean, we have to be realists, of course. We can't just sit here and drink the Kool-Aid. Oh, everything's fine, because obviously, you know, things are changing. Like, we can't go tailgating. We can't go to practices. We can't do a lot of things. And as fans, so it's a culture shock to me, because you know I go to all 8 home games, I tailgate hardcore, I go out and about for away games, you know, out to the local watering holes and, you know, be with my Ravens family, and you know, now it's just like literally just like for me, I'm like, what do I do? You know, it's like, you know, I kind of have to. It's kind of like I have something in common now with all of our listeners that are out of state. I'm like, now I got to watch the games on TV like you all, because I can't do anything. I mean, it's not a shot at everybody there. It's kind of like now I'm going to get a taste of, like, I got to watch a home game on TV. It's going to be weird. So it's like, because I'm always there. I couldn't tell you the last time the Ravens played in Baltimore and actually had to watch it on a TV. So it's going to be weird to see that field, especially with new fans. I don't know, but I'm handling it the best I can. It's Ravens football. We're less than, 3 weeks away from the season? It's crazy. So with no preseason, you got to take it for what it is. And, hey, I saved money this year, Brandon. I got my money back from my season ticket. So,
Well, I mean,
can't complain, right?
That's good. You're looking on the bright side. I mean, that's what you got to do, especially in today's world. Things are ever changing. But let's talk about it. I mean, the reason why we're doing a show this week is the fact that some pretty big news happened over the weekend. I was a bit shocked about what happened, but Earl Thomas was released, and I thought, you know, I didn't know a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, but on the field, I thought Earl Thomas was a good player. I thought he was a good pickup last year. I mean, the guy's a Pro Bowler. When I heard that there was talk of him being released, I was like, what? Really? Are you kidding me? This guy? I mean, he just signed a new contract. And then we find out that, you know, there were fights, there was things going on in the locker room. And when you lose the locker room, when you lose your teammates, that's kind of the writing on the wall there. And Earl Thomas apparently did have some issues with the locker room, some off the field antics, stuff like that. But Earl Thomas was let go, no longer a Raven. What's your take on this? What was your thoughts when you heard the news? And, you know, do you agree with the decision to release him?
Surprised, but not surprised in the same regard. Of all the things that happened in the offseason with Earl, all the things you heard about Earl, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that it happened. But then that's why I say I'm surprised, not surprised. Surprised that it initially happened. My first reaction was, wow. Really? And then it was like when the dust settled and I took a step back and I seen why, I seen his behavior. I'm like, you know what? It makes sense. And Brandon, you have to look at it this way. If the Ravens let go a Pro Bowl safety of his caliber, right, they set the example. That means nobody's safe. That means, hey, Lamar throws a punch and backs up, he could be released, right? I mean, I hate to even say something like that, but it's like, you know, they're like, hey, you know, they're not about that. You know, it's pretty much saying, hey, guys, here's the example. Here's how you not conduct yourselves. And to me, I'm actually happy that he is released because, number one, we don't need that on the team. Number two, that's not a true leader. If you're going to be a Pro Bowler, especially come in here being one of the new guys still, he's in year two of his tenure of the Ravens, and his pedigree, you know, Super Bowl champion, he's been to the playoffs, Pro Bowl, building a Hall of Fame career, and you're going to be, apparently he was late for meetings to get his car washed. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's laughable. Like, you know, that's something that we use, right? Like, oh, I ran over a dinosaur in the road. Like, come on. Like, really? Like, yeah, that's just the stuff. Like, when I heard that, I literally busted out laughing, like, late for a meeting because he had to get his car washed. Like, I would hire people to wash my car if I was an NFL player. Come on, man. Like, really?
I feel like he could have somebody come to his house and do it in his driveway at any point, and, you know, he didn't have to go somewhere and do it too.
You would think someone can come to his house, right? But, you know, given that kind of status, but, you know, the fact remains, look, you look at the domestic situation in earlier this year, you look at the way he's conducted himself with being late to meetings. That's not how Ed Reed handled himself. That's not how Ray Lewis handled themselves. You know, it's funny to say, but right now that's not how Cam Newton's handled himself up in New England. I hear he's Bill Belichick's has high praises for the new quarterback up there in New England. So, you know, that's the stuff right there. That's it. And the Ravens are kind of saying, you know what, that's it. And now they have to deal with a cap situation, and they're going to have to deal with replacing him.
So, I mean, yeah, from what I hear, you know, he had the stuff going on in the off season between him and his wife. And then he was late for meetings. He was getting his car washed and not showing up. Then he threw a punch against Chuck Clark. And apparently, like, that's what got him sent home. And, you know, I think you and I were talking about it before. Like, they're, you know, it's warm out. They're wearing pads. It's humid. Like, everyone's going to be agitated. And back in the day, Steve Smith and Lardarius Webb, they got into a little scuffle, and it wasn't the end of the world. You know, they got into a scuffle, and then Steve Smith brought, you know, Dunkin' Donuts in the next day and apologized. But it had to have been worse than that. But I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the fact that Earl Thomas went to his Instagram and he showed footage from the practice. And that's a big no-no if you're a player. You're not putting the playbook out online for any reason, you know, especially if he didn't clear with his coaches or whatever. I think you know, he lost the locker room. Whoever the veterans are right now, we're like, look, this is it. They talked to the coaches. And then after he put some of the plays out there on Instagram, I think even the coaches and everything were like, look, this, you can't do this. That's not how it works. Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because a lot of fans, again, you know, it's fun to hear the opinions out there, but it's kind of comical where people are like, oh, when Dez came and worked out, right? Dez is a distraction. Oh, I'm on AB. Well, AB suspended for 8 games. Isn't he a circus distraction? But then Earl Thomas gets released, a real distraction. I'm like, why don't you look in house first before you look? It's just crazy to me. Like, people peg these other players as distractions, but here we are releasing our own. But I'm happy that happened. I think the team's better for it. But Brandon, bottom line is, look, if you punched your I want to say teammates, you punch your coworkers. You get be late because you need to wash your car. I think you're going to be sent home too, right?
That's or very released. True.
So I think anybody in their rightful position, they shouldn't act up. So I like the consequences. There's actions and consequences. I'm glad the Ravens didn't let this one get swept under the rug and say, oh, you know, it's okay because it's Earl Thomas. No, you know, act up, can't have that. So I love the culture, and we're about a family. We're about, you know, it's funny how, like, Dez Bryant, when he worked out here, he retweeted a video of the Ravens breaking the huddle saying family. Like, Ravens have been about close-knit unity family. I got your back. I'm going to play for the guy next to me. And not – again, you're right. Things get heated. They're not playing preseason games, so they're scrimmaging games against each other. Things get heated, but you don't throw punches. I mean, that's on the level of, like, a Myles Garrett throwing his helmet at Mason Rudolph kind of deal. Like, that's a Vontaze Burfict fighting and – you know, from the Bengals back in the day. So it's like, you just don't have that. And I'm glad the Ravens got rid of that culture. And we're going to move forward. And now comes the question, who's going to replace old Earl Thomas?
That was going to be my next question. Before we get to that part, let me ask you just, so let's just finish off what happened already. But the locker room, everyone's saying that he lost the locker room. He lost the respect of his teammates. We don't have Ray Lewis. We don't have Ed Reed. We don't have Terrell Suggs on this team anymore. Who are the locker room leaders? Who are the generals in that locker room, the veterans? Because this is a very young team, and you got guys like Calais Campbell just coming in. And even though I've loved what I've seen from him on the videos on YouTube from the Ravens, you know, this is a brand new guy coming into a new system. Like, is he the guy that's already taking off that leadership spot? Or who are some of the guys that you think are doing that right now?
On the defense, it's going to be Brandon Williams and Matt Judon. And on the offense, I feel like, I don't care if he's not a veteran, Lamar, he's earned a pedigree already. He's earned it. NFL MVP. And how about his co-sponsor there, Mr. Mark Ingram? You know, I feel like he's the veteran leader in the locker room on the offensive side of the ball, because you got to look at it. Mark Andrews is brand new still, even though he's a baller. I don't think he's as outspoken. I think Lamar, everybody's going to listen to what Lamar's got to say. It's Lamar, Mark, and Judon and Brandon Williams on the defenses. But I feel, and you're right, Calais Campbell with his veteran presence hasn't established himself yet. Haven't seen him really play in a game, but he's going to be that voice as the season goes forward here.
All right, so let's get back to the question you had. Who replaces Earl Thomas? Now, Earl Thomas even said last year, I think Mark Viviano from WJZ tweeted this out, but he said last year when he was working with Chuck Clark, he went, why'd they hire me? They have you here. So even Earl Thomas saw some talent in Chuck Clark, but who is going to be taking that spot on the safety position with Earl Thomas not there? That's a big wide open area now that somebody can kind of grab that brass ring and get their shot this year.
Absolutely, man. What the two names jump out right at you right away. You're right. Chuck Clark's one of them. One of my favorites in the front runner of that spot. And also Deshaun Elliott. I feel like he's going to certainly emerge, and this is his time to shine. And then there are whispers of a former Raven to be brought back, Tony Jefferson, sitting out there, and his name has been thrown around in the media. So, yeah, so I don't know. That just came out pretty much today, saying, like, now that's no source of NFL Network or anything. That's just chatter I see on Twitterverse, kind of like saying, hey, throwing out there, former Raven, it could have some ties. We don't know. But and then Tony actually said, and this is coming from Tony's camp, he actually said he would not play for another team in the AFC North unless it was the Ravens. So it remains to be seen how it does settle, but the roster's got to get cut to 53 men pretty soon here. So in any respect to that position, you're going to really see it take shape pretty quickly.
Besides Tony Jefferson, do you see them kind of going outside the organization, or do you think that they're happy with what they've seen so far? And if something can work out with Tony, great, but are they even looking outside the organization?
I don't think they are, personally. I think that it's going to be in-house talent that emerges to the spot. No, I don't think they're going to go veteran way. It would surprise me if the Ravens brought in a veteran. I would have to look at the free agent pool to see if he was out there at this point. But no, I think really the Ravens are going to stick to what they have here and with their guys. And again, I think that's also why, you know, getting away from the offense and sticking with free agents, I think that's why Dez Bryant wasn't signed right away. Is that I think they probably still liked what they saw, but I feel like the Ravens are like, look, I love what we have here. We got Duvernay, we got Boykin making catches in practice. We've re-signed Snead. We already got Marquise Brown. He's going to be the burner. So I feel like the Ravens are like, look, yeah, all right, you worked out for us. But it's kind of funny how, if we revert back a couple weeks ago to the Dez Bryant saga, as we didn't really talk about it, is obviously I've been an advocate for that signing, even back when they did offer him the contract. I feel like the Ravens and him are doing this dance. Look, what was it, 3 years ago? Oh, Dez, you know, we're gonna take a chance and we're gonna offer you a multi-year contract. Dez, no, thank you. I'm not ready to play yet. And Dez comes back and does play for the Saints, doesn't even pretty much play, tears Achilles, and he's got to rehab and work out and get back to where he wants to be. And then now here he is, back at it, working out. The Ravens tango with him again. Here we are dancing. Oh, I want to play for three teams, and one of them is purple and black. You know, and long story short of it all, it was kind of funny how the offseason workouts, we know Lamar worked out with AB. Lamar's been outspoken of saying, hey, I want AB. But the Ravens don't want any part of that. And obviously with an 8-game suspension with all that big cloud over his head, that's an iffy situation, even though we do have his cousin with the ties. Lamar really wasn't as outspoken, giving a ringing endorsement to Dez. And the Ravens, even though they gave him a tryout, and this is another two, this is number two when that, the tango list here, they're dancing with each other. So I don't know if something's going to get done, but it's kind of crazy how, you know, the Ravens were interested at first, as Dez is not. The Ravens brought him in for workout, means Dez is interested, but we don't know anything that happened there. No one really Harbaugh's dodging questions in the press conference. We don't know how the Ravens feel about it. We don't know if they're like, you know what, we didn't like what we see. They're not confirming anything. So I feel like somebody's playing hard to get here, and I don't know what's going to happen. And then when it was all said and done, they're like, oh, nothing can happen immediately, but he could be re-signed later down the road. I think they only would go that route if somebody got hurt. As a holistic approach to offensive, defense, special teams, I think the Ravens really like the guys they're running with right now.
Also this week, kind of news broke that the Ravens will not have fans in the stands for at least the first half of the season. I'm guessing through the end of the year. That's not surprising to me. I kind of figured that was coming. You and I actually earlier this week, this was kind of cool as well, kind of tying in with that, is that the Downtown Partnership of Baltimore, they kind of do these webinars each week. And this week they had Ravens President Dick Cass and VP of Community Relations Heather Darney joined the webinar, and you and I signed up for it, and we got to be a part of that earlier this week. And you got to ask Dick Cass a question about the no fans. But before we get to that question you had for him, let's just talk about the fact no fans. I'm not surprised. I kind of saw the writing on the wall that was going to happen. Baltimore still has a lot of restrictions in place. So even though the numbers are down for COVID cases and deaths and everything in Maryland as a whole, it's still a concern. And unfortunately, there's going to be no fans for a lot of games going forward. So when the news broke, I mean, were you surprised? I mean, I'm sure you were bummed. I was bummed. But were you shocked at the fact that we have no fans?
Not shocked at all. I'm pretty bummed. Absolutely. Disappointed. Very frustrated, you know, because I'm like, you know what? Something I look forward to all year. But look, it's 1 year sacrifice. Got to buckle up. We'll be back in it next year.
And Dick Cass kind of explained that in the call. He said that they were all very upset about it, but they are doing some things, or at least trying to do some things, to make the in-game experience available for fans that are at home. He said, you know, they still want to do player introductions at home. They still want to, you know, have the groups come out of the tunnel and stream that, I guess, on the app to the fans. However, the NFL is not answering questions of whether or not they're allowed to do that, because there are a lot of restrictions for regular season where you're not allowed to be live on the field on your phone if you're a player or a coach or anything like that. They're trying to make sure people don't cheat, but they're trying to get that okay from the NFL right now. I think that would be kind of cool to watch at home. I mean, that's something I always missed when I was watching games.
Wait, what would be the factor to not have that? What is the NFL worried about for player introductions? Like, what's the point? You know, it ain't no different than showing player introduction for Super Bowl, or, you know, I just don't understand that one. That one's beyond me. But I like that when I heard on the webinar how they're trying to incorporate a virtual experience for the fans at home because they're disconnected from the team. And I love that. I would love to see that. It would add to something at home in the element of watching the game on surround sound. You got the introductions. You get to root your, like, cheer your guys on as they come out. I mean, I think it would be fun. So, Why is the NFL called the new fun league for a reason? Because it's just, they suck out the fun of everything. Oh, I got to get this approved. Like, there's too many politics. Like, you would think you would get somebody as a commissioner and go, you know what? That's actually awesome. Let's make that happen. Like, I feel like we need, like, a guy, like, for the fans. Because I feel like Goodell's, like, a old, stiff guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, no, it's boring. Like, yeah. Come on. Player introductions? Come on. That's easy. But I don't know. Getting approved by the league, that's nonsense. But I don't know. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Now, something else that was brought up on the webinar, which was, I didn't think about this, but Heather Darney brought up the fact that, you know, a lot of players go out into the community throughout the week, and they go to schools, pogos out. I remember there was a bookmobile last year. A lot of them go to food drives. They do stuff, you know, around Thanksgiving and hand out turkeys, and they work at all these different places. Now they can't do that. Which it really impacts the community as a whole. I mean, yes, you and I are big fans and we love rooting on the Ravens, whether it be on Monday or Thursday or Sunday. But a lot of businesses and a lot of schools and charity organizations, they count on the Ravens. They count on those local sports teams to be a part of the community and help out when they can and help build, you know, playgrounds and stuff like that. And now, because of COVID, the players, they can't go out anymore. They, you know, because there's always a chance if you go out that somebody could get sick, and you don't want that to get into the locker room. So it's not just about the sports. It's about, you know, the world as a whole. And unfortunately, like a guy like Calais Campbell, who did more community outreach than anybody else in the NFL last year, he can't do that. And I'm sure that was, you know, a big letdown for the Ravens. Now, they said they're still going to do like Zoom calls and that kind of stuff with schools, but they will not be able to do anything in person, which, I mean, that really takes a lot of fun out for the kids. I feel bad for them. I mean, everybody's kind of having a rough time, but it's a huge blow not having these games, not having fans in the stands, and not having the Raven players in the community right now. It really...
Absolutely.
It's rough. And you and I mean, how many pep rallies did we go to at Jimmy Seafood or what was that? The Ravens Playmakers bar crawls, that kind of stuff? None of that's happening this year. That's like, what, besides the games, that's my favorite part about being a Ravens fan.
Absolutely, man. You know, it, again, the whole experience. It's like you don't want to give up on everything. Like, I'm not going to watch this year. I mean, you just kind of just have to take it in stride, but it does make it difficult because it's just like, there's nothing going on. All apart from the game on Sunday, that's it. Like, there's no nothing. There's no, like imagine if the Ravens make the playoffs. Like, there's no rallies. There's no, I mean, you would think going into next year or into the fall and winter months, like, let's hope things improve. And, you know, like, I mean, I'm holding hope that by the Ravens make the playoffs in January, they release and fans go back and we can go to a playoff game. Like, I'm trying to be hopeful here. They're not even talking. There hasn't been even talks about that. They're pretty much, the NFL is just talking about the season. No one's saying anything about the P word yet. Because I'm thinking, like, what's going to happen with the Super Bowl? Because, you know, the Super Bowl is a moneymaker. How are they only going to let 10,000 fans to the Super Bowl or whatever? But I don't even worry about that. Because I'm thinking, like, you know, how is the Super Bowl going to be played with no fans either? Like, that's the biggest moneymaker on the planet. So, you know, but going back to the webinar and me asking Dickhead's question, I kind of was curious. And again, I always say, you know, no question is a stupid question, because sometimes I'm thinking of questions. I'm like, I'm going to ask it, you know. So I kind of just put my question out there, and it was actually answered within minutes. It was kind of crazy. I didn't expect that. So my question to the Ravens president, Dick Hess, in this webinar was, why are the fans, the fans that are allowed at the games, the per attendance, why are they state mandated versus like league wide saying like, okay, like let's say the league can put a cap on it, like 10,000 fans in the stadium or none at all. And then I kind of remember putting my two cents in there as well with noting the fact that other teams like the Dolphins and Chiefs are having fans. And I said, I'm kind of jealous of those fans, but I can't wait to be back. And I am. I'm like, I was talking to a friend of mine, Brandon. I was like, look, what's stopping us from getting a cheap, low ball, cheap round trip airfare flight to Miami? And why don't we go to the Dolphins game? Because we can go there, you know, because they're allowing fans. So it's like, I could fly to Kansas City for their home opener if I wanted to. Not that I probably would ever get a ticket, because I heard they're outrageous, but that's just the fun of it. But Dick Hess said on the call, 15 teams out of the league already said no fans whatsoever. Five of the teams are having fans. It's all the Florida teams, Dallas and Kansas City. So to what capacity, that's up to them. Like Kansas City's having like 14 or something. Dolphins are having 13,000. I've yet to hear what Dallas is doing in their big palace of fun there. But yeah, so it is what it is. But and it was kind of funny, because as the president talked, I kind of had like two or three more questions that I went to ask him, like, because he was talking about the money, because he thought about the revenue. And if I'd have thought about that, I could have asked him a follow-up question, or even asked him a different question saying, how much of an impact is this going to impact the Ravens going forward as far as like decisions to be made financially, or season ticket packages, or are tickets going to go up next year because they lost a lot of revenue this year? Are we going to see the pain there? Like, I don't know where the trade-off is, because he talked, and I'm sure you listened to Brandon and heard his answer. It was kind of very in-depth. It wasn't just a quick one-sentence answer. Like, he talked for a good almost 5 minutes to answer my question. He was kind of saying, like, the Ravens are going to lose a lot of revenue, parking revenue, concession revenue, ticket revenue, all kinds of revenue. And that goes bubbles up to the league. The league makes money too. So he's like, look, you know, at some capacity, the NFL looked back and said, well, we got to make money somewhere. What cities and what teams are either going to step up to the plate, or who can handle that? And they left it up to them. But then Dick Hess also said they had to present things to Hogan and the state, and they got shot down by the health officials. And they said, yeah, they wanted to propose this. That's why they went from 14 to 7,500, then from 7,500 to zero. Ultimately, like you said in the beginning, the writing was on the wall. We knew where this was headed. But it's kind of crazy how you think about it, because it's like you think that as a fan. I said that on my social media. When it happened, I'm like, I saw right on the bottom ticker on NFL Network, the Chiefs are inviting 2,000 PSL owners to watch training camp, and they're having 16,000 fans at their home opener. I'm like raising my hand, waving at the TV and going, wait a minute, why can't we do that here in Baltimore? And then I look at it, and then I think about Florida, and it was like, wasn't Florida one of the bad states? Like, how do they get fans? Yeah, I know, it still is. So how do they get fans? And I don't know how any of this works. So there's where my frustration comes in, because I'm like, wait a minute, why? Again, you know, I don't think no one knows the answer, holds the answer. It's just, it's frustrating all around. I guess we don't have a say in it. Got to take it, right? It's no fans at Ravens games. Dolphins get some. Other teams get some. We don't. So we got to put up with it. But the fact remains is we got to root our team hard and show the support somehow, some way. But we got social media for that, right? The players see that. If we pour out the support on, you know, mentioning Ingram and mentioning Lamar and mentioning Jude Allen on Twitter. These guys, they see that, they know, they interact. You know, the Ravens see it on their social media. As long as we can do that there and show the Ravens flock to, hey, if 70,000 can't show up in person, and then whoever else is watching on TV, we're going to have to join as one accord and really come together. And that's, and a lot of people are chomping at the bit. Like, I've had people reach out to me and going, do you know any bars that are hosting watch parties? Is anything open up there? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. But what remains me hope is Jimmy's has been vague on the Ravens season, but they're hosting a AEW viewing party. So
I saw that.
I'm hoping something's in the works for Ravens games, because I'm like, I would love to go to Jimmy's for like a Monday Night Football game. And that's something that I really have to subdue. Speaking of that, is Brandon, we finally get a home schedule that's amazing. Yeah. Not that every year is different, or you know, but it's like, look, we finally get a Monday Night home football game. We're playing Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. We're playing in Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving night, and a lot of us were going to make that trip up there. So it's like, you know, we have great games. So now it's like, I can't go to a Monday Night Football game, which is probably the game of the year. The last two MVPs, Super Bowl defending champs, come into Baltimore. We're 0-2 against them under Lamar. We had a chance to, out of week three, to come out strong. And you're saying, I got to sit here and watch it on TV. No home field advantage. So it's just to me, it just sucks. Like that, and that's what infuriates me when I think about that. It's like, oh, we have the Titans at home again. Revenge. Oh, we have we play the Texans in Houston. We walloped them last year. There's a lot of tie-ins to this year. So, but maybe we just got to watch these games and root them hard. It's all we can do from afar. So until we get back into it next year.
And don't forget, if you are a Baltimore resident, don't forget a lot of the businesses around the stadium. And like you said, Jimmy's Seafood, whatever place that you go to watch a game, a lot of them can't do indoor seating or whatever. Just remember, on game day, do some carry out if you can. If you can support those businesses, they're going to lose a lot of money. These privately owned businesses are going to lose a lot of money because there won't be people downtown. So, you know, still support your favorite hangout. Make sure you still are going there on game day, even if it's just to do some carry out and take food home. Just you know, do what you can to help them out. And like you brought up AEW, Thursday night on AEW, they're going to have live fans. They're going to have a live audience for the first time since the pandemic began. So
how much do they have?
It's 10% of the venue. And they're selling clusters of tickets. But, of course, when they did that, people bought them, and now they're reselling them on eBay. So instead
of thousands of dollars.
But if, say, you have four seats, now you have four strangers sitting shoulder to shoulder, which was not supposed – it was supposed to be families that, you know, are in the same household. So it's kind of feeding the purpose of social distancing if you're buying one ticket and sitting next to a stranger who may or may not be infected. But, you know – they're having a live crowd. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if that's smart, but they're going to do it this week. So,
well, there have been sporting events, Brandon, that have had fans already. We haven't heard a peep negatively. Bristol Motor Speedway, I actually drove past the track when it happened. I was on vacation. NASCAR had 30,000 fans at Bristol Motor Speedway. You didn't hear a peep out of negativity out of that. So that's why I'm saying, like, I know it's got to come back slowly. You can't just open the floodgates and let every NFL stadium fill the capacity and let every college football stadium fill the capacity. I know it's got to be in waves, right? And, you know, and we have to sacrifice it. If we as fans got to sacrifice one season to not go to games, to get this whole mess cleared out of the way, in 2021 we can kick 2020 to boot, and when the calendar turns next year and we look forward to next season, then we're at practice, and then we're at preseason games, and we're at concerts, and we're at things. You know, because a lot of stuff that we had to go this year got rescheduled the next year. So maybe we just got to just really write this year off and say we just can't do anything. And and you mentioned about going out. My place that I usually watch away games, it's closed. Like, nobody's there. So I got to revert other directions. Like, I got to go here and I got to go there. And, you know, and I don't know what to do with myself. And this might be a year of change for me, Brandon, because – if nobody really knows this about me, I rarely watch games at a house, whether it's anybody's house, because number one, how rambunctious I get, two, if it's a later game, I'm not going to be at your house late screaming and hollering. So I'm always like, I got to go out to the bars because it's the place that can be loud, because I'm just loud. And it's just how I watch football. I can't just sit in a recliner and fall asleep. I'm like, I'm standing up. Somebody tells me to sit down. I snap at them. No, I'm standing up. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'm very animated when I watch football. So I'm like, I have to do it my way. And it's just going to be a year for change and adjustments for all of us, including myself. So, but I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to get a chance to watch games with different people I never really get to, you know, maybe go over some people's houses. I know my buddy's got a nice basement he just finished with some, you know, big screen TV, surround sound. full Ravens bar, Rose bar, and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm going to get a chance to really enjoy it with, you know, other people and go different places, do different things. I know, shout out to my buddy Paul, his birthday is the opening day, you know, on the 13th against the Browns. So I'm going over to his house and enjoy the game at his house watching the game. So it's going to be awesome, you know, celebrate his birthday, Ravens opener, get to watch football. So again, with the change, there's frustrations, there's disappointments, letdowns, there's anger, but wrapping it all up, right? We got to really just embrace and say, we have a season, just like with you and the Caps, right? You know, I knew you were going to relive that anguish because they really didn't do much in the playoffs at all.
Nothing.
But no, but it's like, look, I'm sure you wanted to go down to a game or two, but there was playoff hockey. There's high. It's like Orioles. I would love to be down at the yard. It's weird to not be able to go to Orioles games during the weekend or during the week, but there's Orioles baseball on right now. They're doing okay. You know, they're winning games, and they're not that bad right now. So, but it's the same. Instead of being all doom and gloom, I can't go to games. Just enjoy it, watching it on TV. The Orioles are on TV. The Ravens are going to be on TV. Our sports teams are back and they're playing. And then they're vying for a championship, you know, whether, you know, so it's, that's the way I look at it. I kind of really just want to, of all the negativity in 2020, there's a lot of negativity. Let's just look at it half full and say, hey, at least we have a Raven season. Whether we can't go tailgate, whether we can't go to our favorite places to watch it with our favorite people and our group of fans. Like I said, I feel like it just was a letdown because knowing re-listen to the schedule release show that we did, I was all amped up, and then now looking at that, I look like a fool because I'm like, what am I kidding? We ain't going to go any games this year. Like I'm getting all amped up, like, Monday Night Football, boom, yeah, that's going to be awesome. Oh, we're going to Pittsburgh, and then nothing. They can't do anything. So it's like meh. So it's just kind of funny how things change in at a rapid pace, but just got to take it for what it is.
Well, you got a good outlook on life and on this year, and you know, I think that's going to help a lot of people here the way you're reacting to no fans going into the games on this show. So that's a really good thing to hear. And yeah, this year's a rough one, guys, but like Josh said, I mean, at least we have a season right now, and there's some hope there, and you know, hopefully this time next year it'll be a very different story. So Josh, have we covered everything for this show of the call?
We certainly did. We got a lot under our belt here. And then look out for our season preview. We're going to preview this upcoming season with no fans at the bank and abroad. And we're going to see how me and Brandon feel, how the Ravens are going to fare this year. It's going to be different, but we have 16 games to break down. We're going to go through the schedule in our season preview show right before the season opener. And we're going to preview that matchup with the Browns coming September 13th. It's coming quickly, man. But with that, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Now, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now make sure you go over and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are always sharing cool little tidbits or pictures or videos that we find interesting about the Ravens. We are sharing them with you. So make sure you go over and like us on Facebook. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. We will be back very soon. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. It's good to be back on the call podcasting. I surely missed it, especially when a lot of the other sports podcasts are up and running and I'm chomping at the bit to talk and doing what we love to do, talk Ravens football, no matter what the changes this year bring it on. The Ravens always been about taking adversity on, and why are the fans no different, right? as Brandon said, I love your outlook, and I choose to look at it that way. This is another adversity thing. Like the war cry in 2012, how bad was it in the playoff game against the Broncos, where there was just shot after shot going against us? We didn't think it was going to happen. No weapon, baby, no weapon. And I feel like the 2020 is one of those years. It just seems like there's something, always something else. Like, oh, did you have that on your 2020 bingo card is the joke this year. So I didn't have no fans at NFL games on the bingo card, but it's reality. We have to face all together. But we're going to watch the Ravens in one accord and root them hard. And Lamar, he's got that Super Bowl in his mind. And shout out to him. Madden 21 just got released this week. It's actually dropping Friday. The pre-orders dropped out. I've actually played it. It's phenomenal. The highlights in the beginning with Lamar are just, it gets you pumped up. You know, just knowing how Lamar got voted the number one player by the players of this year, heading into this year, it just, the accolades racking up for him, and I can't wait to see him and Mark and our new guys, you know, Patrick Queen and Dobbins, ball out. And it's going to be a phenomenal year. And then with that being said, season's on the horizon. Everybody get ready. Baltimore Ravens, we're going to fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.